Well, the great meltage continues in the upper part of the country and around the rest of the world. They could probably use a little water right now down in Australia. That is just one tragic fire that's killed over 100 people now, destroyed so much property, literally like a fast-moving firestorm that moved so fast it didn't even burn all the trees. I saw a couple of shots where it just went for like houses and then just kept on going. Just lots of people who are still trying to figure out how it got started. There is some thought that it could have been arson. It could even have been a terrorist act, but we don't know for now. All we do know is that the rest of the United States has got a pretty peaceful night ahead, and that's good. While you're sitting there nestled peacefully in your beds, try not to think about the new potentially dangerous asteroid that has just been discovered. Sorry. Relatively small near-Earth asteroid named 2009 BD81 has several possible impact dates after the year 2042, but it's early. So trajectory calculations could change. But, you know, you might want to take a look at what your 2042 is looking like. And you just might want to put down pencil in ice age. Just little ice age, question mark. It just, you know, it could happen. What we do know is later on this week, it'll be a celebration of holidays, odd ones perhaps to have back to back. But Friday the 13th, coming up this Friday, and then Valentine's Day on Saturday. We're going to kind of dabble in both tonight on Coast to Coast AM. First, I'll tell you our guest next hour is a woman named Patrice Chaplin. She's related to Charlie Chaplin through marriage. Her book is City of Secrets. And I got a note that said that in the published version of her account of her experience with a time traveler, and that's all I'll tell you for now on this, the publishers felt that the public couldn't know everything, that they wouldn't believe her story if she told them everything. Well, tonight she's going to tell us everything, even the aspects of the book that her editor didn't feel would help it sell. It has sold well already in the UK. It is in the United States now, City of Secrets. It's a really compelling story. She's a beautiful writer, and yet there is more to the story than anybody who has read the book even knows until tonight. And so we're going to ask Patrice Chaplin to tell the story as she wrote it, kind of the director's cut, if you will, coming up next hour. It's just kind of a little coast-to-coast version of Valentine's Day, more on her time traveler affair and what that whole story was about, who it was with, and the implications it had for the Holy Grail, too, coming up next hour on Coast to Coast. But I mentioned Friday the 13th, and speaking of directors and cutting, his name was Jason. This is a new DVD out. It's a retrospective, 30 years of Friday the 13th, the ultimate retrospective on the groundbreaking horror series. And it's interesting. It really is. I have only seen but two of these movies. This is not my favorite kind of genre, but I did see two of them in the theaters, and I was glad to see that we have an opportunity to talk to the most popular of all the actors to portray Jason Kane Hodder just a little bit later on. But first, let's do some crypto news coming up in just a second, because there's some big stories to get to. In fact, how about this? First time out with the camera and you catch Nessie. Not to mention that there is a whole sort of cyber movement of cyber divorces and the ugliest diet you could possibly imagine coming up next when we do crypto news to get the show started on Sunday night on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. As we mentioned, the most popular of the actors to portray Jason coming up from the Friday the 13th series. We'll get to that in just a moment. Looking forward to spending a few minutes on that. Friday the 13th is on the way, obviously. And of course, that brings us to a discussion of luck. Hang on for that. We'll get to more of it in just a moment in crypto news. For years, I've maintained an open mind on the claim that childhood vaccines, either introduce or trigger autism in toddlers that had previously shown no signs of being autistic. I wasn't convinced of it, but I kept hearing about the arguments that said this was true, and it certainly looked like it had a causal relationship. Well, there's an update here I think you got to know about. Many a past radio guest has presented what seemed like credible evidence and at least anecdotal testimony that the traditional MMR vaccines cause autism, period, flat out, and that people ought to refuse to have their children vaccinated just to be safe. And while when we were having kids, I gave those claims a fair airing, in the end, my wife and I decided that the risks outweighed the benefits, and so we went ahead and we had our boys immunized. And other than being cursed to be my sons, they are developmentally normal in every way. I've never regretted immunizing my children, but tonight I've never been so grateful I did it, because it has been revealed that the doctor who sparked the scare over the safety of the MMR vaccine for children changed and misreported results in his research. That, according to the Sunday Times of London, in an investigation they were doing, he created the appearance of a possible link with autism by faking his conclusions. Confidential medical documents and interviews with witnesses, say the newspaper, have established that Andrew Wakefield manipulated patients' data, which triggered fears that the MMR triple vaccine, which is to protect against measles, mumps, and rubella, was linked to autism. The research was published in February of 1998. You might remember it was an absolute sensation. It claimed that the families of 8 out of 12 children attending a routine clinic at the hospital had blamed MMR for their autism and said the problems came on within days of the needle jab. But the new investigation, confirmed by evidence presented by the General Medical Council, reveals that, quote, in most of the 12 cases, the children's ailments as described in The Lancet, the medical journal, right, were different from their hospital and general practitioner records. Although the research paper claimed the problems came on within days of the jab, in only one case did medical records suggest this was true. In many of the other cases, concerns had already been raised before the children were vaccinated. So obviously this changes everything. And if there are more studies that can be swapped out for this one that maintain that the MMR vaccine is the culprit, they should be prepped and ready to go for Monday morning. Otherwise, if you've been holding back getting your child done based on this research, then you might want to research that research one more time and take a look at it. That reminds me of the whole Nadia Suleiman case, the single mom with 14 kids. I won't take time to get into it now, but I'll leave it on my blog. I have written a couple of thoughts about what her problem might be. It's just my opinion, but I'll throw it out there. It might really only have to do with math. She's got a lot on her plate. Miracles happen. 14 kids. Obviously, this woman, her children, and society need a miracle here. And I've written a little bit about it. I'll stick it on the blog at coasttocoastam.com at the bottom of the hour. Like the miracle that happened recently in Scotland. There's a miracle. A couple enjoying a romantic weekend in the Highlands believed that they may have had a close encounter with a Loch Ness monster. Experts are now investigating the latest photograph, which was taken by accident, to establish if it is in fact the Loch Ness's most famous resident. Ian Monckton, he'll never lie, his name is Ian, and his fiance were going to the shore to celebrate her 30th birthday. On the way back to the village, they pulled in over to the side of the road. The driver's window was down, and before the couple stopped their car, they heard a commotion in the water. Using the headlights and the flash from his camera to check their footing on the rocky shores of the loch, he took a photo, which could be the elusive monster. It was just using the flash just to make sure they weren't going to fall in. Quote, there is clearly a very large shape in the water that looks aquatic a few meters from where I was standing, and you just see the tips of the trees lower down the slope to the loch in the photo. This photo has been passed along to a naturalist, an expert opinion. That's what makes me feel good about this story. He's not holding it out to the highest bidder or swears that it is something that it isn't and waiting for somebody to come along and offer him £1 million or something. He's just putting it out there. He says it was the highlight of our trip. We definitely will be back, and we're struggling to get an explanation for what we caught on camera. Chia, one shot, first time they see Nessie, and they get a shot of her. That is a miracle. And I don't keep up on my good wedding omens, but isn't seeing a cryptid the sign of happiness ahead if it happens when you're just getting married? I don't know. It would be for me anyway. There's a story, I'll put it on the blog, of somebody who is not having a good marriage life. But it's an interesting story because it's about cyber divorce, or rather divorcing a real person for the actions of their avatar online. He hasn't done anything, but his avatar did. She's divorcing the avatar, which means she has to divorce her husband. You get the idea. Anyway, we'll put that up on the blog here coming up, too. A couple of quick stories. If we're thinking about Valentine's Day, a Croatian man has lost 160 pounds in just 6 months on a diet of garlic and onions. He weighed more than 360 pounds, and doctors warned him to lose weight or risk death. The man says he tried several diets, but nothing worked until he started living off garlic and onions on a plain biscuit with carrot juice. That's it. Garlic and onions, plain biscuit, carrot juice. Doctors thought the idea wouldn't work. It's worked great. One of the man's friends, though, says that while he looks great, his breath is really rancid. My question is this man obligated to mention the garlic and onion smell in his profile on eHarmony? I don't know. Maybe he doesn't need to. Maybe it precedes him through the internet. Either way, I wish him and all the single people out there the best in their ongoing quest to find true love, and hope that you can be lucky in love on Valentine's Day coming up this Saturday. The larger question exists of what is lucky, though. And there's a study from Northwestern that says that luck is perhaps nothing more than your subconscious at work giving you good information, which you go with on a hunch, thinking that you're just pulling it out of thin air. But in fact, it's not. I put the details on my blog here of a story from fizorg.com. It's about that feeling, you know, that gut feeling, that feeling that says this would be a lucky guess. This would be a good thing to do. And you might want to take a look at that story before Friday the 13th, which is coming up this Friday. His name was Jason. It's the ultimate retrospective on the groundbreaking horror series Friday the 13th. Kane Hodder played Jason in number 7, number 8, number 9, and Jason X, the 10th movie. Did I get that right, Kane?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Well, first of all, congratulations on your fame as Jason, because you there's a band. Isn't there like an alternative band named Kane Hodder?
Yeah, they're kind of like a kind of a death metal type band.
Death metal. Okay.
Well, that's what I call it anyway. And you know, I like a lot of their music, and it's kind of flattering that they would choose my name to name their band. But
that's very cool. You're kind of like Jethro Tull, except alive.
Yeah, that's right. I am. Okay. That's a good analogy. I never thought of that one.
What the heck? If Jethro Tull were alive, he might be saying, you know, that was really cool. They named a band after me.
That's right.
You're obviously a big guy, and you do as much stunt work as you do acting work. You've been in Hollywood for many successful years. I hope you've really enjoyed your career.
Oh, well, I have had the best time. First of all, I went into this business just to do stunts, because I thought it was a great business. I've been doing it for 32 years now, and gravitated toward the acting part just kind of by luck. I mean, you know, there's always bad guys in movies and stuff that have a couple lines and then get killed or get beat up by the star. So I, you know, started doing that first, and then I got very, very fortunate to be in the right place at the right time to do, you know, the Jason character.
Right. And you do, for a lot of people who see, I'm not a big slasher fan. I'm not, although I've seen two of them. I have to confess, I haven't seen any of your Jason performances, other than I did watch the entire documentary. His name was Jason, and that was really interesting.
But you haven't seen one of my movies. I'm going to have to find out where you live now.
Well, the name was, this is really interesting, because what I really liked about it in the documentary in particular was that they just called it slasher movies. When I first went to a couple of these movies, slasher movie was something that the directors were kind of fighting. It was a dismissive term, and they were saying, no, we're horror. And yet now they sort of embraced slasher.
Right.
And it sort of made it funnier in a way. I mean, then they kind of got really good with all of the horrible, you know, blood, guts, and stuff that happened in these films. And they just seem to kind of sort of celebrate the oddness of it.
Right. And when you go to a theater to a slasher film, if you want to call it that, which has incredibly over-the-top violence and killing, and
right,
the audience is cheering, then that's the proper way to view these movies, I think. You don't take it seriously at all. It's so crazy that you can actually cheer what's going on because it's so over-the-top.
Yeah. Well, God bless you for being able to do that.
What? I love doing it. I'm sorry to tell you, but
no,
I love it.
You and my sister-in-law and about 1,000 other people I know totally—they just eat it up. And I can't. There's certain images that once you see them, you can't unsee them. And so
right.
I try not to see stuff I don't want to see over and over again. But I got a kick out of how people talk about you and about the films. And so it's really like the ultimate celebration for Friday the 13th fans. Let me ask you though about the mask, because that has become totally iconic. And I didn't realize that there were there is Superman and Bizarro Superman and stuff. There's the mask, and then there's pretenders to the throne of the mask. And the hockey mask of Jason, it has to have red on it? Is that the story?
In the ones I did, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what it says in that documentary about the guy that in part five that pretends to be Jason, does not have red marks. He has blue marks.
Right.
Yeah, and by the way, I absolutely love the documentary. I think it is so
cool.
Well done and such a comprehensive piece about every angle of those movies. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. You know, I definitely would say this, and again, I'm not a slasher fan, but they didn't leave anything out
on
this documentary. It's all there. It's like you saw all of them.
When we talk about our favorite kills and we talk about everything else, they covered everything.
Oh, God. It brought back memories of seeing Jason 3D. I remember seeing Friday the 13th in 3D.
Oh, right.
I totally forgot until they were showing it. I'm like, I saw that movie.
I know, and I had watched all the previous ones myself because I've been a big horror fan. In fact, I'm a big fan of haunted places, of ghost encounters. I've done a lot of, going around to places that are haunted, Waverly Sanitarium.
Oh, yeah. I could totally see that. Yeah. I mean, for you go in and do it like a personal appearance, or you go in as a crew, or?
Usually I just go in for myself. If I happen to be in the area doing an appearance, then I'll try and see if I can get to the location and just experience it as a ghost hunter. I mean, I love doing that stuff. There's a whole group of us that do it.
Now, you don the hockey mask for a couple of live dates a year for haunted houses around Halloween and stuff like that?
No, I never wear any part of the costume. I just go there to do autograph stuff and meet people. And I take pictures of choking people and stuff like that, of course.
You don't chase people around in a cornfield or anything like that?
I may, chase somebody in the parking lot if they've been rude, but
not even just for old time's sake, chase somebody.
I can't talk about that. That's a legal issue.
Okay. So, again, we're talking with Kane Hodder, who's the most famous of the Jasons, and the controversial Jason when they replaced him for Friday the 13th, number 11. Have you been back since then?
No, I was replaced in Freddy versus Jason.
Oh, that's
and in the subsequent one that's coming out soon. But no, I have not come back.
Okay.
I still would put that mask on again, though.
Yeah. So
I got a lot of good years of killing left in me.
Like the Sean Connery promise, you would return if the deal was right. If the script were good enough, you would be back for Bond.
You know basically. What? It doesn't even have to be a good deal. That's how much I love playing the character, and that's the honest truth. I never went into it to try and make money. I just loved doing it, and it was such a fun, well-known character. I just felt honored to have been chosen.
Well, you can tell, and your fans love you for that. And it's all in the documentary that's out. And if you love that genre, you'll love the doc. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Thank you for the thanks for the time.
No problem. It was a pleasure. My pleasure. I enjoy the show.
Happy Friday the 13th coming up for
you. Thank you. Same to you.
later on this week. Yeah, you know, actually, he's exactly right. I Friday the 13th is lucky for me because my oldest son was born on Friday the 13th. And somebody read somewhere that if you have a child that's born on Friday the 13th, it goes from being unlucky to lucky. So I've always had good luck on Friday the 13th. But then again, I don't go camping with nubile teenagers ever on Friday the 13th. And I would recommend you not do the same thing. Stay away from any place called Crystal Lake on Friday the 13th. Well, let's do open lines for the rest of this hour on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. And we've posted the blog at coasttocoastam.com. So there's some great news stories, some photos, all the links you need for tonight's show. And then I threw up a blog on a couple of things I didn't get to for crypto news, just because we wanted to leave as much time as we could for Kane Hodder back there. But one of those things that we hinted at was just a story about luck. And about how luck is actually perhaps just the unconscious knowledge that you carry with you and compute with all the time. And you are so unaware of its presence on those computations that you make these lucky guesses or these decisions based on a hunch, which are really not a hunch at all. It's actually fairly rational, sort of non-conscious information that you're processing at the same time. You're smarter than you think you are. Not a bad problem to have. So that having been said, if we had a theme here for the next half hour of open lines, I wouldn't mind hitting on a couple of quick, and I mean quick because we'll try to get as many as we can, stories of the luckiest thing that's ever happened to you. The luckiest thing that ever happened to you, where your hunch, your unconscious or non-conscious information processing could not possibly explain why this happened. Just throwing it out there in case anybody wanted to include it. And because there's open lines, you're not married to that. Where do you want to take it coming up next? Till we get to our guest, City of Secrets. It's a true story of a woman who experienced an ongoing relationship with a time traveler. Who it was and what they were traveling about and the implications it has for the rest of us, we'll get to coming up next hour. She is a very smart, very well-connected woman, and no reason to lie that I can think of. She swears this happened. We'll let her try to convince you coming up next hour on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. All right, so we'll get to open line calls for the rest of this hour. You tell us where you want to go with that coming up in just a moment. Also, a reminder that George has an interesting kind of Grail-related story later on this week. I'll be listening for that coming up on Coast to Coast AM. Not the Grail, but in his case, related to the Shroud of Turin and the story of somebody who claims that there is a living being right now that has been cloned from the blood of the Shroud of Turin. I want to know more about that, and I'll be definitely listening. East of the Rockies, Sam is in New York on Coast to Coast. It's open lines for the rest of this hour. Sam?
Hey, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good. Where do you want to take us?
Just wondering what your thoughts are about where the economy is going. And I've been hearing a lot of talk on a lot of radio now that that now that the new administration's in, that they're going to start taking away a lot of our liberties and everything like that, and we're pushing towards socialism. I just was wondering your thoughts on it.
Well, I don't, again, I mean, I hear that word socialism thrown around a lot, and I don't think we are in that. We can't fit socialism in on this program. There are some things about it, like, you know, the anytime the government is heavily involved in being the purveyor of funds, yeah, you could start to say it's sort of socialistic in that one sense. But I'm not looking for a major overhaul. I think it's did life feel terribly, you know, crazy under the last 8 years of President Bush for you?
My whole theory is no matter who's leading the country, I still got to get up and go to work. So
there you go. Welcome to my world.
I'm telling you, right? It's a beautiful thing.
I think that's where most people live. I think there's a lot of fear mongering that goes around, and I'm not a party to it. So, but interesting thought, and I appreciate that. You wonder who could be right? What could possibly be true? And you look at something I was in today in the New York Times, a community that had been riding high, selling fast. Homes would go up in this exclusive community And they would be sold within a week or two. I mean, they were just moving along really quickly, and everybody thought this was the next great place to live. Now homes in that same development are selling for 80% of their original value. I mean, that's just devastating. The amount of people who've been wiped out by somebody like Bernie Madoff, all of the people that are out there that lost money, lost their 401ks. I mean, there's some serious pain. I think it's real pain, and I think it'll be a while before we bounce back from that. I heard Susie Orman, who's a popular sort of kind of, I guess, an armchair economist, right? A consumer advice person who often talks in broader strokes about the economy. And she said that she thought it might come back strong by 2015. She said all these estimates of within the next 18 months, she thought was way optimistic. But we'd be on the road, but we won't hit it till 2015. But what does that mean exactly in terms of how the rest of us are going to live? Be frugal. Buy well. We have somebody here on the first-time caller line, somebody who identifies themselves as Jason from Lake Crystal, Minnesota. And I can only assume isn't the real Jason from the Friday the 13th movies, because that was Crystal Lake, right, Jason? You're not saying you're the same guy.
Right, right.
Okay, just checking. Okay.
Lake Crystal.
Right, just a slight difference, but an important difference.
Yeah. And so even as kids, you know, we lived near there, and we always thought it was the original Crystal Lake.
Right.
And so then there was Friday the 13th, where I've been in places, and, like, residents have freaked out and said, he's Jason on Friday the 13th.
But that is your birth name, right, Jason? I mean, that's your real name. You just happen to have the bad luck of being from Lake Crystal, Minnesota with a guy named, with a name like Jason.
Right. It's a common theme on Friday the 13th. Oh, Jason's in the bank. You know? But it's all fun and games.
Yeah. So. That'd be all right as long as it's once a year. If they were all the time, I think that would get really old. How's the weather for you? You getting the big thaw that the rest of the state is getting?
Yeah, actually, it started melting today, and now it froze up again. So
yeah, well, we know. Yeah, well, let's enjoy it while we have it. And thanks, Jason. Appreciate that. Upper Midwest, definitely the downward pressure of this huge cold that was bearing down on us broke over the last couple of days, and it's been downright nice. I went outside to see Coraline. The new movie, the Neil Gaiman book, the original book, but done by the guy who did Nightmare Before Christmas. And I saw Coraline in 3D. And if I had to think about it, perhaps the last movie I saw in 3D was Friday the 13th Part 3D, whatever that one was. So it's been a while since I've donned the glasses for something like this, but it was really good. And the special effects were cool, consistent. They were subtle in many ways. It was really done really beautifully. And most importantly for me, I just got used to getting those glasses just kind of took on sort of an unobtrusive kind of feeling. There wasn't a sense of like I was looking through glasses. Although I recommend if you're going to go see Coraline and they give you the 3D glasses when you walk in, make sure that you clean them off. Because the guy who was handing them out had his fingers over all the lenses. So it takes away from some of the fun when you realize you're looking through somebody's fingerprints at a movie they put a lot of work into. But it's very cool, very dark, very spooky, and a lot, very creative, wildly imaginative. You don't always understand what's going on. It's just you have to kind of succumb to the bizarreness of the world. But the fact that it's a stop-action animation and that they did all of those figures by hand and everything, you'll never stop being amazed anyway. Judy is in Texas on Coast to Coast AM on a wild card line for open lines the rest of this hour. Judy?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Have you ever heard about the amateur archaeologist who took the picture of the Sphinx, covered the head just to expose the rest of the body, and shown it to professional and university archaeologists, and their observations were that the layers that they observed that you know, exposed in the picture appeared to be a result of massive flooding. This may lend credence to the Noah's Ark story, you know, about the flooding issue. Just wanted to know what you thought about it.
No, I've never heard that. And I don't know. I mean, I could see where if you covered the face and you were actually just looking at it from a photograph, why you could say something like that. But
yeah, the sediment.
Right, but beyond that, I mean, I think you, before you say something definitive, like it proves Noah's Ark, I think that's
no,
when you...
No, I was just saying right. It might lend credence to the theory. I think you'll have some emails coming up that will, manifest what I'm telling you.
Okay,
thank you so much for taking my call.
All right, Judy, I'm, you know, it's a lot of the... There's sort of an annual, maybe biannual now, push on we've discovered Noah's Ark or we've proven that the flood was real. We talked to a guest last night, and if you missed the show, you ought to go back and listen to it. We were talking about dirt and it the erosion of civilizations. It was Dr. David Montgomery. He's a professor at the University of Washington, and he said one of his books coming up is actually about the flood. He's writing about the Noah's Ark stories. And we include the different versions of the flood with science. And he said he was just kind of trying to reconcile the two things, and he's got a whole book out of it, and I'm looking forward to that too. Wild card line, Bob is in Eagle Rock, California on Coast to Coast. Bob?
Hello. I always enjoy your show.
Thank you.
On luck, I've done a lot of past life regression. It was actually for some other reason, but it became obvious to me that we are spiritual beings and that we do cause things. We're basically spirits living in a physical world. And one of the things that I wanted to do was to try to, in the earlier days, wanted to try to test this. And I made the decision, could I control luck? And I said, okay. I decided that I am lucky. I am very, very lucky. The next day, I won a $400 laser disc.
No, that's good news, right? If you wanted the laser disc.
Yeah, it proved the point that, and I've, since that time, I basically decide what I really want to be. And amazing how many of these things just come about if you decide that you are, not that you'll be, that you are.
Right.
And
you won the $400 laser disc or a $400 laser disc player?
The player. Player,
okay, yes. Good. Because that wouldn't be so lucky if you won a laser disc and you didn't have a player.
With no player.
Right, you got the player.
I did have an older player. I had been looking at it, and I left the name because I was thinking about upgrading. I had won the first laser disc out and was a real clunker. But
yeah, they were huge. They were gigantic.
Oh, yeah, they really were, you know. And,
cracks me up. Well, interesting thought. As we move on, I'll think about that because, and thank you, Bob. That we're talking about manifesting luck then. And that is kind of another side to luck of creating your own luck by an expectation of good fortune that's going to come to you. Then we change a paradigm that you will then feel more lucky too, that you will look for things as luck. You will appreciate them in a different way. Again, we're talking about a story that popped up earlier on Crypto News, and I put it on the blog. If you want to find out more, go to coasttocoastam.com. And Tony is in Canada on Coast to Coast for Open Lines. Tony?
Yeah, hi, Ian. I'm a longtime listener to your show. I've been listening since about 97, and it's the first time I've ever tried to call in.
Glad you did. Thank you.
Yeah, and just that as soon as you said that you wanted to hear some stories about luck and intuition,
right?
I had to call in about this because this is the day that I always – called the luckiest day of my life, and so I figured if there's ever a time to tell a whole lot of people about it all at once, this is it.
Okay, go ahead.
So I was just driving along the street in Montreal, and I'm actually living in Vancouver now, but it was Montreal at the time. This was about 20 years ago. I was about 32 at the time, and you know, I pulled over and the light turned red. I was over in the far right lane. You know how you sometimes go over there to shoot past the cars and get, you know, to get in front of the traffic, right? So I was over there on the far right lane up against the curb and waiting for the light to turn green. And then for some reason or other, I thought, you know what, I think I'm just going to turn right on this side street instead and go a different way to where I was headed. And the light turned green, and for some reason or other, I just didn't feel like I was in a hurry anymore. I didn't know why, but I just didn't. And I just slowly started just driving around the corner, and I heard this terrible scraping. You know, my car seemed scraping underneath like this. And I'm like, Okay, so about halfway around the corner, I stop, I get out, and I take a look at the front of my van. I'm driving a van, like a GMC Safari, and then I hear this crying and screaming. I look underneath, and there's two little girls, a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old approximately, underneath my van, right under the engine, and with a broken tricycle. And the tricycle is busted in half, and I pull them out of there. Their arms are bleeding. They're crying. One of them scolding, the older one scolding the younger one like this. I pull the two pieces of the broken bike out. This is in broad daylight. I look up, and all of a sudden I see all these people looking out the apartment building, and then I see the parents come up there. They're yelling at the kids. The parents are speaking Portuguese. I'm trying to talk to them.
Right.
In French and in English. They don't understand
right.
either language. They don't talk to me. The parents just ignore me completely. They grab the kids and start walking, away with, like, the father's holding the broken pieces of the tricycle. And, they got the daughters in their hands, and they just start walking down the street, scolding their daughters and ignoring me completely. And I'm just standing there, and all the witnesses are looking out the window, and everybody just kind of shrugs their shoulder. And the whole thing that could have happened is if I had just decided, you know what, I'm just going to dart through this intersection or blast around the corner or whatever, those girls wouldn't have had a chance. They would have got bunched right up underneath that van, tangled in the tricycle, and it would have been a horrendous mess.
Mm.
And to this day, I consider that the absolute luckiest day of my life, and I always look back on that moment.
I love how you're looking at that, because you're lucky, obviously, it wouldn't have been your fault. I mean, right, theoretically, this would have been an accident and pedestrian culpability in this. But you feel it's lucky because you wouldn't want to be the kind of person that lugged that around with you for the rest of your life.
No, absolutely not.
Right? And obviously, it's the luckiest day of the life for those little girls. They may not have a luckier day than the day that you went slow instead of fast. And it's the luckiest day for the parents that didn't lose their little girls. It's the luckiest day for everybody who was watching it develop,
yep,
that they didn't have that with them either. That's very interesting, Tony. That's really, take me through the thought process. You're just saying it's just like a little voice that just said, yeah, go slowly right here. I mean, how do you process the speed thing? It was just a fluke, or was that as a result of just feeling like, no reason to go fast today?
I wasn't in a hurry previous to that. I was sort of zipping along through traffic, and for some reason, just out of, I have no idea why, something happened, just told me, go slower, and I just decided to kind of slowly go around the corner, and what had happened was the little girls had been bending down so low in front of my truck, I never saw them even step.
You never would have seen it, not in a van like that.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Oh, Tony, I'm so glad you shared that. So thanks for making this the one opportunity you've called Coast to Coast. And I'll be thinking about that for the rest of the night. That's a good way to look at luck. Hopefully, too, that the girls have gone on to have a blessed life as a result. David is in Delaware. David, you'll be our last call, I think, before we're top of the hour. Go ahead.
Hey, I would like to get your take on the economy. And do you see that we might need, like, a civil war to kind of come to terms with the government and kind of do, like, a reset and maybe change some of the rules to, how long senators and congressmen can stay in office to kind of help keep the economy or the government honest? I mean,
I'm a founding father guy. I think that the blueprint is there. No, I wouldn't in any way think that a civil war would solve our problems. I'm assuming, since you put it on the table, that you or somebody you trust thinks that a civil war is just what we need here.
Yeah, I mean, I really do believe that, because, the rich upper crust, they're always going to keep getting richer and the poor are getting poorer, that we need something that's going to shake up the government and say, look, the people govern by grace of the people that they are governing.
Well, there's two things to keep in mind. I mean, if we're doing democracy right, then we vote them out of office. And so that's the first thing. We have already a mechanism for taking those people out of office, and you ought to, and perhaps you need to get more involved in getting people out of office that you don't like. But on top of that, really, the rich have gotten richer, but the middle class did too, until really we've had a real reversal of that recently. But I think we can get back there again. And I don't think war is the answer to restore the balance of power in the United States. That's where I am. But let's go ahead and take a minute or two to think about time portals, time travelers. Possible? One woman said she lived it. She'll tell her true story coming up next on Coast to Coast AM.